Then all that remains is for a reading before Mauricio speaks, and that's Aisha, who's going to come and do the reading. And then we're going to have Mauricio sharing on one aspect of this Spirit-filled church. So Aisha, do come. Give her a warm welcome.
Morning. So this is a reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self in its practices and have put on new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him."
Thank you, Aisha. Mauricio, give him a hand.
I just set the timer, so 3 hours, is that okay? Everybody's got 3 hours of the day? Okay. Yeah, sure, yeah. It's 3-4 hours last time, wasn't it? Okay. We've been doing a series of Spirit-filled church as part of a church here in Bassett Street. And as part of having a Spirit-filled church, we have a subject called the expression of a church. An expression of a church can be done through the many one another commands that we have in the Bible. The one another we are taught how to treat each other as fellow human beings, and more importantly, how we treat each other as Christians. And today, we're going to see in leave it there. Bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances you have against one another. So to bear and to forgive one another. If you go to the next slide, Phil, please. I'm wondering, is when you look at the world, is that what we see? Do we see people forgiving each other? And do we see people bearing each other's grievances and differences? In the verse 1 of this chapter, or where the verse that we have, bear and forgive each other, the first verse says, "Set our minds and set your hearts and set your minds on Christ." Your heart and your mind. When we look at the world, does it have its heart set on God? My first answer would be no. When we look at the world, does it have its mind set on God? My first instinct would be not. That's not what I see. Just this year, or just at the beginning of the year, and for the last 2 years, we've known that's what's happening in Ukraine and the war. We know in Haiti in the Caribbean, that practically the gangs have nearly taken over the country. And they're asking for international aid. In Matthew 24, 6 and 7, it says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." This is the first thing that I see when I read the news. Nations and countries together don't have their heart or mind set on God. There is no forgiveness and there is no bearing with each other. In Timothy 3:1-5 says, "But understand this, that in the last days of where we are exactly right now, there will be times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive." And this is one that happens both, we've read it so many times in institutions, in the churches, haven't it? That's happened, abuse. It happens everywhere. In places that are meant to be a sanctuary for those in need and those who are vulnerable, abuse is probably most prevalent. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, not to be conceited, swollen with it. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, i.e., putting the self first, but denying the power that comes with the true power of God. When I was with reading recently about a mass murder that was committed by a young man, he posted online the reasons why he was going to do it. And he wanted people to know why he did it, because obviously he knew that either he was going to die or he was going to get killed in the process. And when he posted online, he says that he wanted people to know that it wasn't because of terrorism, but it was because of hate. When I look at that list, brutal. And that is what the people have their minds and hearts set to in the world we live in, and even within many churches. Not long before that, I saw a crime and investigation episode talking about two 16-year-old girls who were friends with another girl who was 16, and the three of them went to be friends. And one night they decided to lure this girl out at night, and they killed her. And then a couple of weeks later, when the police found out it was them, they actually went to interview them. And in the interviews, they finally got out to them the confession, and they asked them, "Why did you do it?" Their answer was, "They didn't like her very much. Heartless and treacherous." It's a disease that we all suffer from in humanity because we don't have our minds and hearts set on God. But how did we get here? What does the Bible say of how we got here? In Genesis 3, we see the story of the separation between humanity and God. And we all know that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. That's what the story says in Genesis, doesn't it? But there is a verse, a very peculiar verse that comes just after this. And it says that, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. They hid from the Lord, in verse 8, it says, amongst the trees of the garden. Once they sinned, they became aware of their sinful nature. That's an interesting point. They knew then, not only then, that they were naked and exposed once they had been separated from God. In a sense, their shame was exposed for all creation once the light of God had left them. They saw themselves changed. But this is interesting. This is a key thing of what the Bible teaches, the separation caused in humanity for the human being. Number one, what changes the way we see ourselves, so the way they saw themselves, and what also changed and was distorted and corrupted was the way they saw each other or other people. Two things changed from that moment. The way we see ourselves and the way we see other people around us. It was corrupted and it was distorted. They sowed the fig leaves. Each one of them sowed fig leaves. It's like clothing yourself with the list that we just went through in Timothy. And that is what humanity began to dress itself with. And the Bible teaches us that from then on, every single person that is born with a sowed fig leaf. But what did God do? So it's not all bad news. I promise you, it's not. What did God do? The gospel. From the beginning, God showed his plan from the separation from God and man. With a question. Because this is another verse in Genesis 3:9 that is also overlooked, but is so important. Because don't you think when God came to speak to Adam, when he went to look for him when he was hiding, God could have said, or God probably should have said in human terms, that's the logical thing, what did you do? Or what have you done? That is what religion tells us that God will do. Religion tells you that God will say, what have you done in judgment? And what did you do? But what question did Jesus ask Adam and Eve when they were hiding in the trees in the garden? Where are you? Where are you? Straight away, God is looking and seeking his creation with love. Like a heartfelt cry of an anguished father, God obviously knew where they were. The Bible tells us that God is omnipresent and omnipotent. So he knew where they were in the garden, which actually makes this question even more striking. Where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? God knew that a gulf had been made between him and his creation, and that God, and that gulf had to be bridged by God himself. So then in Genesis 3:21, we see one of the first verses again of the gospel coming in. In Genesis 3:21, it says that Lord God made clothing of animal skin for Adam and Eve. They, with the sin, wore the sewed fig leaves as a sign of that separation and rebellion towards God. But just before they were taken out of the garden, God clothed them with the animal skins for Adam and his wife. For you see, just as humanity had put on the sewed fig leaves as a sign of rebellion, God had shown already that through one sacrifice, he will clothe them again. And he will unite his creation with himself one more time. And that's how it is that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bethlehem, as was prophesied. And Jesus, at the age of 33, will go and die on the cross, and he would be sacrificed. And the Bible says, just as sin entered humanity through one man, so will salvation enter through one. And that sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross was God saying, here I am looking for you. I know that you are lost and that you are hiding from me, but I'm looking for you. John 3:16 describes it this way, what I have just said. John says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved us, he did not come with judgment. God did not come and say, what did you do and what have you done? God came saying, here I am. I am flesh and blood, so you can see me. So you can witness me. And you can see that all that list of sewed fig leaves that we saw in Timothy, I'm going to put them on that cross. And that's what we read in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, 3:15, the chapter before, the chapter Aisha just read to you, it says that you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, i.e. that sewed fig leaf that you have on has not yet been cut off you, it's still on you. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he what? Let's read it together. He forgave all of them. All of the ones we read on that list at the beginning. Every single one and more. All of them. For those of us in the church and for those who are outside. Every single one. Jesus died on that cross for that. And he forgave first. Because he came looking for us. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it by nailing it on the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You see how it's been changed, how Paul has changed that shame that humanity bore in rebellion to God, that shame they wear using their sewed fig leaves. Well, here Paul is saying that with every nail that went into Jesus, every single one of those sewed fig leaf sins and rebellion that we clothe ourselves with was nailed on that cross. And that they were publicly shamed. Jesus was publicly shamed for us so that we could be forgiven for the shame that we brought with our separation from God. I just gave you two examples of what two writers of the Bible said about Jesus. What did Jesus say about this himself? What story did Jesus give us to tell us his mission? Well, there is the famous prodigal son, one of Jesus' parables. We all know the story of the prodigal son, don't we? Of the father and the son in the home. And the son decided in rebellion to take away all his inheritance. And as a perfect example of the rebellion of humanity towards God, he went and he spent his whole life separated from God. And he lived and breathed perhaps many of the things that we went through in that list before in Timothy. And that is what humanity is doing right now, that particular life. But it says that when he finally came about, i.e. his heart and his mind were set on the father he had at home, he realized that no matter what he could achieve in life, nothing could fulfill the hole that was missing in his heart, the hole or the emptiness that every single human being has, that there's still something more, that there's something better. There is something that I'm missing. I am not complete yet, and I need to come back. And in verses 20 to 22, it says that, so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, listen to this part. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. One. Two. Filled with love and compassion, his father ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. Every religion and every philosophy in humanity that talks about a higher power is about how we can reach God. Christianity is the exact opposite. Christianity is about God was filled with love and compassion and he came running towards us. And he found us in the street. He found us alone. He found us abused. He found us exposed. He's found us full of conceit. He's found us full of pride. He's found us full of lack of forgiveness. And he came with compassion and he came with love. He didn't come with judgment. That's how God came. That's how the God of the Bible came. And that's how he's coming to us today, church. He ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. You can see what the compassion brought humility in the son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe. What did God do to Adam and Eve before they went out the garden? He clothed them, didn't he? Here the father clothed his son with the finest robe. You see, the robe was a sign of honor. The honor of having a relationship established with our God once more. And that is the honor that we can have of establishing our relationship with our Creator once more when we set on our mind and our heart to the cross. The ring, he says, put a ring on his finger. We all know that before the ring was used to cover many of the envelopes, wasn't it? Wax. And then you could put your ring as a symbol of the authority, of the authority that it came from this house. It came from this family, this letter. The authority is reestablished. And you know what authority brings to the human or the person who comes to Christ? Identity. The identity that was corrupted is now revealed again. That authority that was lost is now revealed again. You know what I see? One of the most things that I see, along with lack of forgiveness and bearing with each other in the world I live in right now, is a lack of identity. But God promised to give us a new identity, the original identity, the perfect identity. And finally, the shoes, or the sandals in this case, because they didn't wear shoes probably like we wear them today, I would guess over 2,000 years ago. Sandals on his feet. You see, the servants and the slaves weren't allowed to wear sandals. So by placing the sandals on his son, he was giving him again the sign of freedom. When people come to Christ, when we come to Christ, it certainly was for me. I found that I was bound and that I was a slave. And the problem with this slavery that the Bible is talking about is not one that we can see with our eyes. Perhaps there are some that you can, but there are some that you can't. Because we are all a slave to something. That's what the Bible says. Because we are slaves to that sewed fig leaf that is on us and we can't take it off. Freedom. When you come to Christ, you get honor with the relationship with God. You get identity of being part of God's family. And you get freedom from sin. You get freedom from that sin that has been carrying you and has been burdening you all your life. The story speaks of reinstatement of the believer to the family of God and the restoration of the Father. A salvation by grace that is not deserved and it's not earned from our part, isn't it? Because who went out to meet the Son with compassion and love? God did. Who became flesh? God did. We didn't earn it. It was given to us, and that's why the beauty, and that's why it's so sweet and so joyous. Because we didn't have to earn it. It was so free. Now, let us go to the first chapter again, to the first verse. You see, we've come full circle, church. I promised you. If we go to the next slide. Now, let us clothe ourselves with Christ. Now, let us read in what we just learned this verse again. But at this time, instead of saying your, we're going to say our. Let us set our hearts and let us set our minds on Christ. Because once we set our hearts and we set our mind on Christ, when Nicodemus, one of the great Jewish leaders, came to Jesus and asked him in John 3, he said, but how can I, if I look at the cross, if I look at my heart and mind, how can I accept that salvation? What happens to me if I do? Jesus uses the words, we are born again, which he really found hard to understand that concept. How can I go into my mother's womb again if I am old? That's what he says. He literally says that question. He asked that question. But Jesus says, we are born again, i.e. the old clothes, the sewed fig leaves that you had, be taken away, and you are clothed with a new self. You are clothed in something new, something that is not perishable, something that doesn't die away, something that is eternal. And that is why we have, when we come to Christ and we are born again, but it's a journey, isn't it? If you are born again, what does that mean? You are born like a child. So it means that this journey, this new self requires a journey in our life, in our walk with God. But this time he is there with us. And we will stumble, we will fall. But we know that we have God's love and compassion. We have a Father who comes running to meet us and to pick us up again. We learn that when we come to Christ, there are some things in us that we need to start taking away, that we need to start stripping. Because what we realize that all the sewed fig leaves that we were wearing actually come in different colors and different shapes and sizes for every one of us. And we need to start letting go of them first. And that is what happens when you come to Christ. And that is what we get in the verses that are coming up now. If you go to the next slide. It says in verse 5. Before I go into that, it's important we understand it, because why? If you have a glass that is full of something, and you want to fill it with something, what do you need to do? You need to throw away what's already in there to be able to fill it with the new, isn't it? And this is what Paul is doing. What Christ dies to us, does to us when we are born again. We begin to strip away those sewed fig leaves to be able to clothe ourselves with something new. We put to death, therefore, it says, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. It's a shorter list to Timothy, but I promise you, a lot of the stuff that we saw in Timothy is probably summarized in some of these. When you say evil desires, it covers a lot, doesn't it? There are many types of evil desires. But it says to put them to death, i.e. burn them. Cut them out by the root in your life. Because many people try to put on brand new t-shirt with a really dirty and smelly vest underneath. What's going to happen sooner or later? It's not going to smell very good, isn't it? Put to death. Start taking away. Then he says, you must rid yourself of what? What must we rid ourselves? Things such as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Anger and rage. Sometimes I don't suffer from anger and rage. You know how many people end up in prison through one moment of anger? Just one. Family shattered, completely shattered by one moment of loss of control. Let us rid ourselves of these things, church. Let us rid ourselves of these things. And it says, verse 9, take off your old self with these practices. And he says, do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self. So to take off our old self, church, we need to stop lying. Remember when Adam and Eve hid in the garden? God knew where they were. He was saying, where are you? Let us take these off, church. But why does he want to take this off? What are we going to put on? I went to see a film yesterday called, Mrs. Harriet or Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris? I thought it was a really nice movie, actually. So it was a beautiful movie, very nice. And she went to a Christian Dior, where they actually build the dress, make the dresses, sew the dresses. And there was a moment where they're all coming in, all the models were coming in with some beautiful new dresses, and they look beautiful. They look really nice. This list that I'm about to give you is like God giving us the Christian Dior of what a Christian should truly feel and clothe him or herself with. Let us go. Let's do it. First of all, put on your new self, which is renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Beautiful dress number one. Beautiful t-shirt number one. We clothe ourselves in a new one when our knowledge in the image of the creator, i.e. when we set our heart and mind on God, something happens in us that we begin to truly see the purpose of why we are here. We get the hug from the Father, the compassion and the love and the forgiveness. And our image and knowledge of God begins to change. We clothe ourselves with something new. If we go to the next one, we learn that we are all one in Christ. He gives the list of Jew, Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But we are all one in Christ. There is still racism, there's still hate, there's still prejudice and discrimination in our societies today. But when we clothe ourselves, we learn that one of the beautiful dresses is that we are all equal under God. And that our brothers and sisters in church, we are together as one. And together we show the love of Christ, just as we can do individually. Now we have a few of them put together. Let us start clothing ourselves with this one, church. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Is there a law against being compassionate? Is there a law against being kind? Humility. Being gentle. Being patient. This is what we have to start dressing ourselves with, church. We can do this because Jesus showed us excellent compassion. The most powerful compassion on the cross. We can do this because Jesus was kind first. That's why we can do it. Jesus humbled himself and was shamed on the cross. That's why we can be humble. That's why we can show humility to others. Gentleness. Jesus was gentle. Jesus was caring. And Jesus was patient. He must be very patient if he was with Peter. If you know Peter the disciple, you had to be very patient. But there are many Peters. Many of us were Peters. But look who Peter became in Jesus. Fire and power. Fire when he spoke in Acts. Because Jesus was patient with him. And he's patient with us. It's not easy, church. Leave it there. Don't move that slide, please. I'm nearly finished. It was, I promise. Yeah, look, we're going to, yeah, actually, yeah. We're doing good time. When I was a teenager, all of you know my some of my testimony that my dad was in prison for many years in my teenage years. And I was going to church. And I thought I was a Christian. And one of the Sundays, and near the end of his sentence, my dad was allowed to go out on the weekends to visit the family home, because he went from a category down in prison. I remember that I was hanging out with a group of friends who were smoking weed and doing things that perhaps I never did. I felt that I don't like that, but they played football, so I thought, I want to go with them. I want to play football. Even though I knew that what they were doing wasn't necessarily something that I liked, something that I thought was good. Something in me said it wasn't good, but I wanted to go out on that day. And my dad sort of suspected that the friends I was going to meet, even though he didn't know them, he said to me, you know, don't go, stay home. And I said these words to him. I said, what do you care? You weren't here. My dad is a very disciplinarian. He was a very strict parent. And I thought at that moment that I was going to probably get a smack. I was going to get told off. But to my surprise, my dad stayed quiet and he didn't say nothing to me. And in that moment, his silence taught me that I hurt him really badly. And I know that he was wearing a soap fig leaves and he was ashamed. And he was probably waiting for me. He said, you know what, Dad, I forgive you. It's okay. Because I know that despite the mistakes that you made, you were a great dad. You are a great dad. You see, what was happening to me, I realized is this. On the one hand, I was trying to take off my soap fig leaf clothing. And on the other, I was still trying to put on my forgiveness clothing. But I had both of them together. And I still couldn't fully full on my forgiveness. But I still haven't fully taken off my soiled fig leaf of lack of forgiveness and anger and lack of self-control and respect for my parents, as the Bible teaches. And we all struggle with that. Perhaps we're struggling with that today. Take it off, that soiled fig leaf. Take it off. Let's take it off. It's a burden that Jesus already took on the cross. Let's take it off, and he knows it. My second testimony is an external one. I saw a documentary of a woman who was sent to life in prison, to death, first of all, because she murdered her boyfriend. And it turns out that this woman had been abused for many years. She had come, obviously, for a very broken background. But this wasn't taken into consideration when she was sentenced to death. The parents of the son of the boyfriend that she killed became Christians. And they actually, the son had run away before they knew that he was killed. So when they found out he was killed, obviously they were heartbroken because they had never the chance to renew that relationship with their son. But then they heard the case of the woman and all that she has struggled with in her life, of the woman who killed her own son. And they felt compelled to go visit this woman in prison. And they became witnesses in her court case, because they realized that the defense, that they had never shown that the life that this woman had lived. And she was paying the price, because sin comes with a consequence. But the parents realized that they had to heal that loss of their son, and they decided to forgive this woman. And they went to prison and they said it to her, and we said, we forgive you. And the woman then in prison became a Christian. And then, even though she still maintains life in prison, she was no longer on death row. I'm a parent of two children. I don't know if I have that kind of forgiveness. But that's the forgiveness that God can give. That's the forgiveness that God can give. Let us stand up, church. For those who know me, I'm from Colombia. And even though I've been here since 7 years old, I'm really bad at adapting at the cold. So I get bullied at work that I always wear jackets in like autumn and spring. And they're like, why are you wearing a jacket? There's one more clothing in the Bible that is really important. And I see it as a jacket that guides us through winter, through our harshest and coldest winters of our life. In verse 14, above forgiveness and bearing with each other, Paul gave one more clothing. And he says, over all of these virtues, finish it with me, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If we don't have love, the compassionate and forgiving love that Jesus had for us, nothing is going to happen. But a church that has the compassion and the forgiveness united in love from Christ shines brightest in the dark. Let us pray, church. Let's close our eyes. Lord, I thank you because I want to give a small testimony. When I was a child, as part of this prayer, if we all close our eyes. And when I was a young child, my parents left for a dinner and they left us at home alone. A house that we were renting, it didn't belong to us. And my brother and my sister and I decided to play very rebelliously and very, not very smart, to play basketball in the house. And we broke our door and the window was shattered. And we were afraid that evening that when our parents came, they were going to come with judgment and they were going to probably give us a smack and we were not going to be very, very happy that night. So what we decided to do is we decided to put all our clothing on. I put 3-4 layers of tracksuit bottoms and 4 or 5 layers of t-shirts so perhaps the smack wouldn't hurt as much. I was 4 or 5 years old and I remember that I fell asleep. And on that Monday morning, when it was time to go to school, I remember hearing my mom arguing, "What are you wearing all these clothes?" as she took off layer by layer. And then when I came about, I remembered of what we had done the night before when we had been disobedient. And I said, "Oh no, this, here it comes." But my mother took all my clothing off that I had put on as a sign of my rebellion. But rather than coming with judgment, my mother clothed me in my school clothes and took me to school. And it's one of my few memories I have of my childhood. On a night when I thought my mother was coming with judgment, she came with grace and she came with compassionate love because she loved me. And it's one of my few precious childhood memories. But there's an even greater memory when I came to Christ for the first time, because I realized that his compassion and his clothing of love and forgiveness was eternal. It wasn't just for a few days. It wasn't just once, because even our parents are going to make mistakes. Even we as parents are going to make mistakes. Even our children are going to make mistakes. No matter how beautiful and think that they are the best, they will make mistakes and they will stumble. But Jesus came with a love and a forgiveness and a bearing. He supported everything so that we could forgive. I pray, O Lord, that we read in verse 14 that we can forgive just as God forgave us. And I pray that as a church, we are a forgiving church because we set our hearts and minds on Christ. And I pray that when we start blessing this community in Kentish Town and King's Crescent and everywhere we go, Lord, we are seen as a church that forgive because God forgave that church. I pray that compassion and love is seen, O Lord, through our life, through the way we speak, through our treatment of others, O Lord, both inside the church and both outside, in our homes, in the streets, in our schools, in our workplace, that people see the difference, that we are clothed differently, that we are not clothed with sowed fig leaves, Lord, that we are clothed in your beauty and compassion, in your love, in your mercy, in your saving grace, O Lord. And people will want that. People will be desperate to want that. People with all that list in Timothy will want that so much, because they know that salvation brings true joy and brings true happiness to their heart. I pray that we are a forgiving and loving church, first with each other here and those with others outside. Oh Lord, I pray this, that you bless us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Amen. Yeah, do sit down. We just got 5 minutes before the coffee comes in. The coffee makers want to get things going. That's fine. That was a great message, Maurizio. Thank you. I just struck me, just a kind of takeaway, really, from what Maurizio is saying. It's this thing of like taking clothes off. There's a kind of releasing, isn't there? And then there's like a putting on of clothing. I think people find forgiveness so difficult, don't they? How many people here found it hard to forgive somebody? Apart from me, I put up both hands for this. Yeah. The rest of you probably aren't being that honest, actually. You got, that's good. Both hands down. Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? It's not in our nature. And so that, you know, we need to release, don't we? You have to let go of the, you know, we think this person deserves punishment. And so we choose to forgive. And then that's like the putting off the clothes. And then the putting on is that God clothes us with the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? He puts his love into our hearts. And, you know, I think it's good to, did you want to say something? Come on, Yvonne. That we do these two things. Say, God, I release that person. And then, Lord, please fill me with the love that I don't feel I've got.
I just like to give a testimony. 3 weeks ago, in our coffee shop, there was one of the workers who just working in one of the buildings close by. He came to buy some toast. He said, I don't want a sandwich, I want some toast with butter only. I said, okay, this is that much. He said, it's too expensive. I said, go to the opposite shop, buy the whole loaf of bread and do it yourself, no? There's no other way. No, he says, do it for me. Okay. So he paid the money and he went out. 2 minutes later, I was busy with other things. Suddenly the guy comes, very high, like higher than Daniel, you know, and shouting and screaming and swearing and in front of the counter, I want my money back. I said, I told you, if you didn't want it, I just give you the money back. No, he says, I just want my money back. We had some other customers, okay, was behind me. As I see him very aggressive, I said, here's the money, just go. He left. And then we turn each other with Nuket. What's happened with this guy? And we just laugh. Because he was like a giant toddler, just giving, you know, some nonsense there. But when he heard that we laugh at him, he came in, now this time to attack us. So he came around the counter, and I said, Nuket, back behind. And then he came on top of me. Just to, I was expecting, you know, to get the first, you know, hit or something. But very aggressively, with anger, like, so much. And there is another customer, he came, ran, grabbed him, the other two guys. Eventually, everybody went out, we took him outside, and he left. And I said, what's happening now? Just for this couple of toasts, I have to get this thing here. He said, Lord. But he didn't realize that we have cameras there. I go to the cameras, I saw him. I'm going to call the police now. I mean, why would it get these kind of things? Later on, a manager came from there. So he came and I showed him the cameras. He says, yes, this is one of us. I'm going to get fired him now. Now it's up to you. If you want to call the police, you have the evidence that you've been assaulted. I said, okay. So then with Nuket, we sat down and we pray and pray. And as I was praying, this verse came. He says, you know, vengeance is mine. Leave it. I said, but the Lord, look how much he offended me. And for half an hour, I was like battling with myself. That can't be like that. I said, you know, it offended Nuket, it offended me, it offended the whole people there. For what? I'm gonna go, and again that verse keep ticking on my heart, in my mind. Eventually I gave a big breath and I said, okay, Lord, I just give it unto you. You said like that. And the moment I said like that, it was something like a smoke came from my heart and it just went. And the peace came to me. I couldn't forgive him on my strength. I had to ask God to help me. To be able to ask to forgive someone, we need to ask him. There is no chance with our strength. We can't forgive. That was 3 weeks ago. Yeah? Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you that you put us together, Lord, to glorify you and praise you today. I'd like to pray for each one of us, Lord in heaven, that in every moment, in every circumstances, we'll come to you to ask you, Lord, the way we should go, the way why we should do in every circumstances, whoever we met with. Help us, Lord, to be a forgiving person, loving person. Because as Mauricio just earlier shared with us, you can have everything. You can be the best speaker. You can be the best millionaire of everything. If we don't have love, we are nothing. Let's pursue love, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us. Only you can fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Fantastic. Well, there's your takeaway. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah. If there's something, I know that forgiveness is a very difficult thing. And, if you got an issue and maybe you think, oh, I just really can't do this. And it's been bugging you. Do pray with somebody. As Evangelist said, you know, we need God's help, don't we, sometimes, with this. So do feel free to share.